Welcome, everybody. My first time in a while leading the meeting, so hopefully I can handle this. I guess do we have a quorum?
Yes, ma'am, you do.
Okay. Everybody ready? Okay. Board of Business approval of the December 7th, 2020 minutes.
Teresa, your phone, your reception's bad.
It's on speaker. Let me see. I'm trying to pair your buzz really quick. Sorry about that. That may be where the squeal's coming from, my phone. Okay, let me, is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, it's going to be hard for me to read the agenda this way, but I can do it. Okay, do I have a motion to approve the minutes from December 7th?
I make a motion to approve the minutes from December 7th.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Trying to get some earbuds on here so I can do this. Sorry.
Can we approve the agenda as well, Pam? Or Teresa, I mean.
Or do we do them separately? Can you hear me okay now? Hello? Can you guys hear me?
This is Pam. I hear you, Teresa.
Okay.
But there's some kind of crackling there.
Don't know what that is.
Teresa? This is Asia Hernton. If you need me to read anything off of the agenda, I can do that.
Oh, that'd be great.
Okay.
That'd be awesome.
Okay.
Okay. It was moved and seconded. Do we do this for both items or do them separately?
You do them separately. You approve the agenda, then you do
okay.
The minutes.
Okay. Okay. And I'm just going to, like we did in the past, just ask if there are any objections to approving the minutes, specify by saying nay. Okay, motion passes. All right, thus, do I have a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting? Or is it today's meeting? Yeah.
So moved.
Second it.
Good.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Are there any objections? Okay, motion carries. All right. Okay, now we need the Title VI plan endorsement and participation plan endorsement.
That is me.
Okay.
Let me share my screen.
Thank you.
Oh, it says host has disabled participant screen sharing.
Teresa, this is
yes.
Neil, if you go to your share screen button and you click on it.
I don't have it. I'm on my phone. I'm not on the Zoom app.
Because, well,
Asia, you should be able to share your screen now.
Okay. Yep. All right. Can everyone see the screen?
Yes.
Okay. So this is for adopting or endorsing the Title VI plan and the participation plan. So we're finally coming to the end of the process of updating both of these plans. And just a quick recap on what we did, we added new outreach methods that can be conducted at a distance. New methods to inform the public, such as infographics and videos. We also created more accessible outreach methods for people with disabilities. We created a survey to understand the demographic makeup of the current MPO. And we also just completed our 45-day public and comment and review period that also included a survey, and we got 28 responses on that survey. So, just with that recap, now we need ACAT to endorse the plans where it will eventually be adopted by the core MPO on the 24th.
Do I have a motion to endorse the plan?
So move.
Okay. I need a second.
A second.
Okay. Are there any objections to endorsing the plan? Okay. Motion carries. Okay. Is there anything else in that I need to, Asia? Was there another part of that, or is that just explaining what that was?
So that was just explaining what the participation plan and Title VI plan was and just what we updated. Okay. So we just needed an endorsement of that update. But if you want to see the full plans, they're on the agenda.
Okay, well, I can't see those. Okay, what is that third item, Asia? I'm not understanding what that third item is on the agenda.
MPP. It's a status report, and it's 2025 MTP administrative modifications.
Okay. I'm not sure what that is.
I think Wycota's presenting.
Yeah, that'll be a presentation probably by Wycota. Yeah.
She's working on her audio right now.
Okay.
Okay. Do we need to come back to that, or just wait?
I'll run down there and check and see how her audio is coming. We can go on to infographics if we want.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll move on to the other business section, and that is infographics, and that's also me. I'm going to share my screen again.
Okay.
So part of participation plan update was creating infographics. So at an earlier meeting, I showed an infographic, and now this is a new one that I've made, and it's just kind of explaining what an MPO is. So in the future, we're hoping to make more of these so people can have a better understanding of what the core MPO is and what transportation planning is. And hopefully it'll increase public knowledge. That's what we're aiming for.
Absolutely, because a lot of people still don't understand what the MPO is or does.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Stop sharing. And so the next part of the agenda under other business is animation for core MPO introduction. I think that's Alicia.
Thank you. to be waiting for Alicia.
A blank white page right now.
I can't really hear you, Alicia. Your audio is kind of low.
Yeah, I can't hear hardly at all.
Is that weird?
No.
Audio sounds about the same. No, I think that is a yes. Can you guys see a screen that's white and blank right now?
Can anybody?
Frank says, yeah, we can see it. Thank you. I will start with the animated video.
I'm missing all the good stuff, huh?
I don't see it either.
Oh, okay.
Wait a minute, something just... Oh.
All right, guys, we're going to have to stop this for just a second because we've got to get a refreshed agenda up. Wycota's going to put one on her screen in just a second because there's a couple things that are missing from this one, it looks like.
Okay.
Sorry, I had to switch computers. Are we waiting on Wycota now?
I think so.
Yeah, to get the current agenda. This one was missing the tip on here, and she's trying to get it pulled up now.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you.
graphics. What is an MPO 25? What is an MPO link? PDF? PDF 125. Innovation. Link. MPO 6. Public participation opportunity 7. Under 6. XAC meeting Monday, April 28. Other non-gender information. 6. 6. 5. And what is an MPO 4? Infographics. IV. Agency reports.
Julie, can you show my screen?
Wakoda, you have to share your
screen. Okay. For some reason, the screen doesn't refresh, so just I have to use the Agenda Plus. This is the right agenda. Can everybody hear me?
Yes,
Wakoda. Okay. So for the agenda, we have the first item is approval of agenda. And then the second item is action items, under which we have approval of the December 7th, 2020 Quorum PO ACAT minutes. The second item, Title 6 and Participation Plan Update Endorsement. The third item, approval of draft of fiscal year 2022 Unified Planning Work Program. The fourth item is the updates to fiscal year 2018 to 2021 TIP. And then the fifth item is 2045 MTP Vision Plan Amendments. After that, we have the status report. And we have fiscal year 2021 Federal Certification Review. And then we have agency reports. The next one would be other business that includes infographics and animation for Quorum PO introduction. And then we have a public participation opportunities and then announcements for the next meeting. And then other non-agenda information for reference. And the last item is adjournment.
Hey, Wakoda.
Yes.
I'd just like to ask everybody to mute themselves because we're getting an echo of somebody's speaker going back through the Zoom meeting. So please mute unless you're talking.
Okay, sorry to interrupt. Where are we now in terms of agenda?
I'm lost.
So
we're on your presentation, Wakoda.
Okay, so are you done with the minutes, the participation plan?
Yes.
Okay, great. So next item would be the amendments to the fiscal year 2018 to 2021 TIP. What I can tell you is we adopted the fiscal year 2021 to 2024 TIP back in December, but the governor hasn't signed off on it yet. So until the governor signs off the statewide TIP, STIP, which references our TIP, and that document doesn't become official. So officially, we are still under fiscal year 2018 to 2021 TIP. And this current TIP in year 2021, it overlaps with the one that we adopted in December. But the December adopted TIP has the most up-to-date information. So basically, this update is to make sure all the projects and the revenue projections in fiscal year 2021 match what we adopted back in December. So this is just making sure the information reflects what we adopted in fiscal year 2021. So really, you have seen that TIP and you know what's included in that TIP. So this is just to revise the current one to reflect that until the governor signs off on that one.
We need an endorsement on that, Wakoda?
Yes, we need the endorsement of the proposed updates.
I make a motion that we endorse the proposed updates to the TIP.
I have a second?
So moved. Second.
Are there any, I guess the next thing is there any discussion? Okay. Are there any objections to the endorsement? Okay, the motion carries.
Okay, next item. The next item that I have is the 2045 MTP Vision Plan amendments. Basically, Pooler proposes to add two projects. So one is the South Rogers Street improvements. Another one is Pine Barren Road improvements. They want to add those two projects into the 2045 Vision Plan. The Vision Plan is not physically constrained. Their logic is that they want to make sure South Rogers Street and Pine Barren Road are functionally classified as collectors and above. So Pooler wants to apply for federal funding in the future. In order to do that, your project has to be included in the physically constrained plan. But these two projects are not in that plan yet, but they are compiling a project list to be included in the TSBLOST. So if they use the TSBLOST funds as the seeding money, and they might be able to apply for federal dollars. So they are just paving the way. Just the logic is to pave the way for these two projects to eventually be eligible for federal dollars. So they request to amend the Pine Barren Road improvements and South Rogers Street improvements into the Vision Plan for now. And when they get the TSBLOST funding, potentially move these two projects into the physically constrained part of the Long Range Transportation Plan. But our take on it is that Pooler is not the only municipality that is compiling the project list for the TSBLOST consideration. So like Garden City, City of Savannah, Chatham County, Thunderbolt, Tybee. So every municipality is compiling a list. So what we want to do is we want to get recommendations so that the staff can reach out to all these municipalities. And then we will just do an amendment in April, have a holistic project list instead of only these two projects to the Vision Plan. So basically for this meeting, we would just ask for your recommendation, asking us to allow the staff to just do that so that we would come back to you in April and then present the full list from all the municipalities instead of only these two projects.
Move that we endorse.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Okay, there being none. Are there any objections? Okay, motion carries. What's the next item? Asia.
The next item is the federal certification review. Since Mark is not here, I can talk about that one as well. We have talked about this federal certification review at several meetings. We are a larger MPO because we have a population, our urbanized area has a population of more than 200,000. So we are considered a larger MPO called Transportation Management, or TMA. We are a TMA MPO. And we are supposed to go through the federal certification review every 4 years. Our last one was completed in 2017. So we started this federal certification review process back in September. We had a kickoff meeting, and then we compiled a questionnaire, provided responses to Federal Highway Administration, Federal Transit Administration. And then they did the desk review of all of our planning documents, long range plan, TIP, UPWP, Title VI plan, participation plan, congestion management process, freight plan. So all of our planning process and planning products. And then in January, we had the site visit via Zoom meeting. So at the end of the site visit, it's a 2-day site visit. We got several recommendations. We got some accommodations.
We haven't got the final report yet. The final report probably wouldn't be sent to us until the end of March, but we will, in April, we will present to you what's included in the final report. So it's just a status report, just to let you know where we are now. And the federal certification review is pretty important, because if the MPO doesn't get certified, we will be losing federal dollars, both highway and the transit, for transportation improvements for our area. So we want to make sure and that MPO planning process is federally certified.
You feel like it went pretty well, Wakoda?
I think it went pretty smoothly, because they didn't give us, during the preliminary funding meeting, the findings, they didn't give us any corrective actions. So they gave us several commendations, and then I think probably more than 10 recommendations. ACAD was actually asked several times during the site visit.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, is that all for that item? What's the next item, Asia?
The next one is item 5 under other business, and it's the animation for the core MPO introduction, and that'll be presented by Alicia.
Thanks, Asia.
I will stop my share. So
I should be sharing, and just to give a brief overview, we've created an animated video. The members of ACAT received a few weeks ago on the letter, letting them know our intentions and asking some questions, kind of get some feedback on what kind of information would be helpful to portray through an animated video, because we're just looking to reach more of the community and be more engaging, and just really find ways to really help people kind of understand the process or topics in a more comprehensive way. And so through that, we made an animated video, which I'll play for you now.
An educational snippet brought to you by the Core MPO, with support from Chatham County Savannah MPC. What is the Core MPO? Core MPO stands for the Coastal Region Core Metropolitan Planning Organization, MPO. The Core MPO is designated by the governor. The Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission, MPC, provides staffing services to the Core MPO. What is an MPO? An MPO is an agency required by federal law to conduct local transportation planning and implementation of federal funds in metropolitan areas with populations over 50,000. The Core MPO is regional and includes Chatham County and portions of Bryan and Effingham County. The Core MPO has many responsibilities. They allocate funding, prepare documents, provide technical support, and manage the planning process. The Core MPO coordinates transportation policies, plans, studies, and programs. Through this coordination, the Core MPO tackles issues such as congestion, pedestrians, bicyclists, and safety. The core NPO is supported by several boards and committees. The core NPO board. Citizens Advisory Committee. Technical Coordinating Committee. Economic Development and Freight Advisory Committee. And the Advisory Committee on Accessible Transportation. To learn more about the core NPO and stay up to date, please visit themPC.org.
So this animated video is just an example of what we can do, and what we would like from members of ACAT is to let us know any other topics or information or concepts that you would want to know more about, or that you think the community would want to know more about, that an animated video could provide them, you know, better insight for. And as you can see, we're able to do voiceovers, subtitles, and it can also be translated to dozens of different languages. So it's allowing us to reach a larger audience. So please send any of your thoughts or comments on topics that you think that we should cover or create in an animated video. And that's all.
Where's this, the current video? How are you going to distribute it, or where is it going to be available?
Currently, this is just our first draft that we've created, and we used a broad topic to cover. We have the ability to put it on the MPC website, the core MPO homepage. We can upload it to Facebook, YouTube. We can upload it to a lot of different platforms, so we are able to get widespread exposure.
Okay, thanks.
Sure thing.
Teresa, are you ready to move on?
Okay. I heard it say I was muted, and I wasn't sure if it unmuted or not. Yeah, let's move on to the next item, please. Asia, what's the next item?
The next item is item 7, announcements. And that announcement is that the next ACAT meeting is on Monday, April 26th, 2021 at 1 p.m.
Okay. And the next item?
The next item is item 8, other non-agenda information for reference. Do we have anyone here to present these?
Since they're non-agenda, they're just there for informational purposes.
Yeah, these are the informational reports that are provided by Chatham County, GDOT, City of Savannah, CAT, and Lowcountry Area Transportation Study. So it just the information is there. If you would like to see them, you can just read the report. If you have any questions, just let us know, so we'll get information for you.
Okay.
I would like to show.
Yeah, we skipped. We skipped agency reports.
Yeah.
Good. So if Neil or anyone from Life has anything, or if we have anything from CAT, that would be one of those.
Okay. Thank you.
James.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Pam.
Yes,
Pam.
Yes.
Is this the point where I would tell you all something that I am going to report to Scotty?
I'm sorry, say that again, Pam.
Is this the point, the part of the meeting where I would tell you all about something that I'm getting ready to report to Scotty?
My My Zoom is terrible. It's breaking up.
So okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Try again.
Okay. For agency reports, can I report something that I'm going to report to SCOTY?
Yes, that would be fine.
Okay. Recently, over the past couple of years, you know that they have had the West Bay Street Improvement Project out here between Graham Street and the viaduct on West Bay Street. They finished the actual street, but when they did that, they did not put any new traffic lights in. What they did was put in traffic beacons at certain areas of the street that people, pedestrians, can cross safely. And I think it's three beacons. And what I've been able to do and what I'm going to report, Steve Henry, the mobility director, and the traffic engineer, we have a new traffic engineer now, Mr. Barry Stanton, they contacted me to let me know, because I had been contacting them, that they are going to go back and retrofit these three beacons with an audible feature, because GDOT did not and would not make the beacon signals audible when they put them into this new project. So the city is going to go back and retrofit them. They're ordering the equipment as we speak. And whenever they get the equipment in, Mr. Henry's going to contact me and let me know when they're getting ready to install it.
That good is deal. Nice of them. Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll make the street crossing much more safe.
I cannot believe that GDOT project doesn't include audible signals.
No, GDOT says that. GDOT told me from the beginning they do not do that on any of their projects.
Oh, okay.
The city agreed to go back and retrofit the beacons.
This is Neil from Life. First of all, kudos to Pam for a great job advocating. That's precisely what we need in the community, and I'm very appreciative of her efforts there. The second thing is just from what's going on at Life is we're still rolling out COVID support services. And so anybody with a disability who has bills that are arising out of COVID, and there's a pretty good chance that those bills, even if they don't on their face look like they're COVID related, there's a good chance that they are, because of loss of job, loss of informal supports, need for additional cleaning, inability to use certain forms of transportation or be in certain settings, need to buy new technology based on their need, based on access to medical care, access to social supports, anything like that. It's pretty wide.
So they don't, Neil.
Yes.
Hey, Neil. They don't actually have to have had COVID.
No.
At any point.
No. Okay. The majority of the people that we're helping out have not. One of the things we're using, even though our waiting list on our HOMOD, because it's so long, is closed. We are using it to get some people off of that, based on the fact that there's a substantial risk of fall in their home or inability to get in and out of the home. And that puts them at a greater risk of institutionalization. And just the prospect of going into an institutional setting in light of COVID is such a daunting proposition. We can use our funding for that. One of the things I've told people at community meetings before, a lot of times people who are on SSI, I don't know how you live on SSI. So a lot of times their family members are under the table helping them pay bills. And then that family member loses their job. Well, the individual suddenly can't pay their bills. And that usually shows up because like 4 months ago, suddenly they got behind on all their on all their bills. And that doesn't make any sense because what changed? And so a lot of times when we do interviews, we're able to identify that we're not there to turn anybody in. We're there just to provide the supports that they need so that they don't get evicted, so that they can pay their power bills. Because if you end up having that past due power bill and you move to another place, they won't cut your power on at the next place. So there's a lot of times the link to COVID may not be immediately evident, but one of the biggest impacts that we're seeing with respect to individuals with disabilities is the loss of the informal supports, as well as the need to be more judicious about being out in public and things like that, having to kind of change protocols based on the fact that they're more susceptible to COVID.
So is your funding different than the grant money that the city has? Because I know in all the news reports on the city's grant money, they've been, from what I can tell, they've said you had to, your expenses had to have come out of you actually having COVID. Is this a different pot of money?
So what the federal government did was they shotgunned this money and they sent it through a number of different agencies, and then they slowly developed plans around it. And that's one of the reasons we delayed the rollout, because we didn't want to do it wrong and then them tell us that we owed them money. Our money is filtered through DCA, so Department of Community. DCA? I can't remember.
Department of Community Affairs.
Thank you. Pam is great at these things. I appreciate it. So it's DCA is one of ours. One of them is DAS, which is actually Department of Aging Services, which is a subsection of Department of Health and Human Services, I think, or maybe a different one. Anyway, it's DAS, Department of Aging Services, filters some of our money through. Those are our two primary sources of this. And it's very unique because it's our only direct service money outside of our Part B money through the state, where we could pay for assistive technology and home modifications. This one, we have a little bit wider discretion. We have to be able to document things. That's one of the big issues. And so people calling us where I'm getting evicted tomorrow, and we're not going to be able to save you at that point. Maybe we can get, if it's a past due bill and they're worried about power getting cut off, that could be something we save them based on the fact we can say, you have this past due bill. Can you call them and let them know that they have permission to talk with us, and we will talk with them and see if we can't postpone this in the meantime, trying to get all the documentation together to be able to pay it down for them. So we can work with, no bill collector wants to have to take someone to collections because they never get anything. They would much, much prefer to be able to work with somebody and get a resolution that didn't involve attorneys or any sort of filing fees. So, we have limitations on what we can do. But if the person has a disability and lives in our 20 county region and is willing to sign up as a consumer, we do require that because we want the funding to be a stabilizing fund, followed by then the planning process where, okay, so we can keep your power from getting cut off. Now, how do we make sure this doesn't happen again? And what are your other goals? How can you remain involved in community life, even in light of the pandemic? So that's kind of the way we're coupling those two things together.
Great, thanks.
Could I, let me just add something. This is Terry Talbert. I'm at EOA, and we do the energy assistance program. And for those individuals who are homebound, the definition is determined by the governor's office in Atlanta. But if somebody's homebound and it has nothing to do with disconnection, but for the month of April, it'll be for seniors 65 years of age and older and homebound individuals that we will provide $400 up to $400 to help with their utility bills. And then there was a statement made about City of Savannah having funds, and also the county has some funds to prevent evictions. of course, we're one of the agencies that are working with them, and they do use the term COVID-related. Well, anybody who's lived through this process has some COVID-related issues. And we just have to figure out the best way to describe what that could be. But we could pay for rent and utilities for a family for up to 3 months anywhere in Chatham County, including unincorporated area. And the county recently got about $9 million. And the governor's office is going to get a whole lot more money doing the same thing in the state of Georgia. So there are going to be resources. And the operative word is COVID-related, but COVID-related relates to a whole litany of issues that happen with families and individuals, especially people who have disabilities in our community.
I'd like to also add, this is Pamela Oglesby speaking again. The United Way also has a specific pot of money. They've always had this. This is long before COVID came along. This pot of money is there to help people with disabilities if they have problems with rent or mortgage. And it's that particular pot of money has always been available to disabled people through the United Way.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Bridget. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Only thing that we have going on right now at CAD is we will be launching our mobile ticketing service. We're going to have a press conference on March the 8th at ITC at 10 a.m. And basically, this is a free app that we've been working with a company called Token Transit. It's a free app available on both the Apple and Google Play stores. So basically, the service will allow the customers to purchase any pass currently available to customers, which includes the half fare, discounted passes, and CAT mobility paratransit tickets. And basically, the only thing, once they download the app, they'll just show the bus operator their phone, and the ticket displayed on the smartphone instead of sticking a pass or cash into the fare box. So this is going to add to another safety element for us, so that you're not touching, reduces contact, cash handling. And also, a lot of times our buses are waiting for someone with cash or change or things of that nature. So it's also expected to help reduce service delays that result from multiple customers inserting cash or paper passes into the fare box. So you all can look forward to this in March, and also to the press conference on March the 8th. And that is all I have right now from CAT.
Bridget, what are you calling that program?
It is the company is called the Token Transit. So if you have a smartphone, you can either go into the Apple or Google Play Store and look up Token Transit.
Oh, okay.
And then you'll locate Chatham Area Transit, because they have several transit agencies that they work with.
Okay. Thank
you. And customers will still be able to purchase paper tickets. This will not do away with our paper tickets. But this is just another avenue for our customers to purchase tickets using their smartphones.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Neil. I saw that Terry stepped away from the call for a second. Did up there he is. He was just off camera. Terry, what was the name of your organization?
It's EOA Savannah.
EOA Savannah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I just moved my face back. I didn't leave.
Tight frame. That's fine.
And Neil, do you know what EOA stands for?
I don't.
Terry should have told you that. Economic Opportunity Authority.
Yeah, we do Head Start, home buyer education, We manage payee representative funds. We have about 263 employees, and we have housing for families who are homeless, families who are veterans, and single men on the east side of town.
Teresa?
Yeah, it keeps muting me and asks me to unmute, and it mutes me again. I'm not sure where we are here.
Okay, we're getting close to two.
Okay. Is there any other agency reports? Is there any other announcements or other business?
The demographic survey in it's number 16 under other non-agenda information for reference. So the demographic survey for the core MPO, which is for core MPO members and committee members to take so we can understand the demographic makeup of the core MPO, is still open. And it's linked to the agenda. And on the agenda, the link is actually live, so it'll take you straight to the survey if you click it. But let me actually go back. So this is the survey link. So if everyone could take this survey, it would be extremely helpful. And if you need the survey in another format, such as physical, or you need any type of accommodations to take this survey, feel free to contact me. So I put the deadline as February 25th, but of course, if you need more time, I can definitely amend that. But it's really helpful if you do take the survey. It only takes 30 seconds to 1 minute to complete, and it's needed for the Title VI plan and participation plan update.
Okay, I think I'm unmuted. Is there any other business? Okay, I say we adjourn. Okay.
Should be it. Hey, Pam.
Okay.